Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Jeannie Mallow and Lynn Ash of Your Safe Haven, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
At the turn of the 19th century, Bedford was a small but growing frontier town in the southwestern Alleghenies. The opening of the West had begun, and along with it were families eager to start a new life. Among them was Demetrius Gallitzin, an unassuming but dynamic Roman Catholic priest whose mission was to evangelize the region for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Father Gallitzin was eager to form a new church in this bustling town called Bedford. With the assistance of some willing Catholics, in 1816 he established a new parish called St. Thomas the Apostle. The new church on East Street at the end of the borough was small but functional. Years and two more church buildings later, St. Thomas the Apostle would grow to a major moral and community force in Bedford. St. Thomas the Apostle celebrates 200 years of continuous and faithful service to Bedford County. We hope you will join us in celebrating this significant bicentennial with the parish family. St. Thomas the Apostle, serving Bedford County since 1816.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe, or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
In all the years I've been doing these radio programs, I don't think I've ever done a radio show from a former convent. So this makes it a really special place. But we're not at a convent, we're at something else. We're in an outfit called Your Safe Haven, which is in the former St. Thomas Convent of many, many years ago, but there's been several businesses and entities in this building since then, and most recently, Your Safe Haven. Joining us is Jeannie Mallow and Lynn Ash, whom we are going to learn a lot more in a few minutes, but first I want to tell you that this organization has been serving Bedford for a long time, and they do some fantastic work, and we're going to learn about what they do. So let's start with its executive director, Jeannie. It's something I don't know much about, so I want to kind of start at the beginning. Tell me a little bit about you. How did you get involved in this? Do you have a background in this kind of work?
I did not have any background. I was the executive director for another nonprofit housing agency when I was approached to come to a special meeting of the former abuse center that was in existence over 20-some years ago. And we worked with that group of people to see what we could do, help to revitalize their organization, and it ended up that the organization closed its doors. So me and some other board members thought it would be wise to look at forming a new nonprofit agency where we would have all the crime victim services under one roof. 20-some years ago, we had two different types of crime victim services in Bedford County fighting for the same pots of funding, which didn't give them a whole lot for staff and to provide all the services they needed to provide. So we formed a committee to look at starting up the comprehensive center on its own merit. And it took 2.5 years to do that. But we finally jumped through all the hoops and applied for funding and everything, and we opened our door on July 1st, 1996.
I'm going to get into some of the nitty-gritty of the organization, but I kind of want to swing back to you a second. Did you have any special training for this?
No, but it was required after we said we were going to do this that we had to participate in like 65 hours worth of training on dealing with individuals who were victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. But we also dealt with all other types of crime victims as well, and that was a whole nother training process. So it took a while to get all our training hours in under our belt, but it was well worth the effort.
Well, the results have been obvious. Also joining us is Lynn Ash, who's chairman of the board. Lynn, I understand you're chairman for life. Is that correct?
I'm afraid so, yeah.
Well, how long have you been chairman?
The board formed in 96. I became chairman a couple of years later.
Oh, boy.
Yes, but...
So you obviously enjoy this, or you wouldn't continue doing this.
I don't know if enjoy is the right word. It's a wonderful resource for the community. We have extraordinarily gifted, and that's not an overstatement, staff, and I feel obliged to support them as much as I can and support their effort.
Well, I think that's something you can enjoy in life, for sure.
And well, that's true.
We certainly appreciate your efforts here. Jeannie, let's get back a little bit to the mission here. I think people see articles in the paper about it, Safe Haven. They may know somebody who's been a client here, but I think most of us really don't have much idea what this is about. Unless we've been involved in this directly, I suspect we wouldn't have much contact.
That's probably
correct. So how does someone take advantage of the program?
Well, in our county, we are the only crime victim center here. So what I tell people, if they become a victim of a crime, whether it's committed by an adult or a juvenile, you will encounter one of our staff as that case moves through the criminal and juvenile justice system. And what I mean by that is, you know, crime victims have certain rights in Pennsylvania. And our staff are here to inform each crime victim of what their rights are for the case that they're going through. And so it's nice to let people know that you're always going to have an advocate by your side explaining what's going to be happening as it goes through the criminal or juvenile justice system. And if it's anything like a domestic violence or sexual assault crime, then we also have other options for people to take to stay safe. And our staff also does like protection orders for victims of domestic violence, sexual violence, and they provide assistance for those who want to file intimidation protection orders. It's a really comprehensive service that we provide here. I mean, in addition to that, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but we also offer 24-hour assistance by phone.
Right.
So we're available 24/7. If you have a fear or a need or something you need to talk to somebody, that it's an emergency, we're available 24/7.
Well, my totally unqualified view would be that you probably work with the DA's office.
Oh,
that'd be correct.
Yes, we work really well with the prosecutor's office, the state and municipal police departments, mm-hmm. children and youth, Office on Aging. You name it. We have a good collaboration of our agencies working together to help keep their clients safe.
Years ago, I remember hearing about organizations that took care of what they call, quote, battered women.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not just battered women anymore, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So it's thinking bigger.
Well, you can
population.
Be a, you can, you know, I think most people, when they think about domestic violence, they see the females as being the, you know, predominant victim. But I am happy to say that due to our outreach and awareness activities, we let our community know men can be victims of domestic violence too. Men can be victims of sexual assault. Little boys and girls can be victims of sexual assault. And to let people know help is readily available to them, we're seeing more people now reach out to find out what options are available to them.
Could you walk me through like a simple process? Let's say, for example, that I or someone I know has just had something happen to them.
Okay.
And the perpetrator is in custody. Okay, we start there.
Okay.
So I guess I'm referred to you. Is that how that works? Maybe
yes,
by the police department?
If the police were called to deal with a situation, they have information to hand out to the victims to get in touch with our office.
So they've gotten a hold of you. Now what happens to this person?
Well, it all depends. If, like you say, if the criminal charges are being filed and the person is in jail, then there will probably be a hearing the following Wednesday through Central Court, probably.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then the DA's office and one of our advocates will be at Central Court to explain to the victim what's going on, what's going to be taking place. And like I said, depending on the severity of what the case might be, the DA will also provide some additional information of what he's looking to do in to prosecute that case. But like I said, an advocate is always with the victim throughout this process. And if it goes to trial, our advocates accompany the family and their significant others that have to be at the trial to explain what's going on there and just to be there as a support. To, you know, because sometimes it can get a little overwhelming, especially if any of them have to testify to what happened and so forth like that. So that's why our prosecutor's office and our office work so well together.
Yeah, I hear sometimes the crime is bad enough, but then the whole process of convicting the criminal can be even worse for the victim. Has that been your experience?
Well, it can be. Yeah. Like I said, if, you know, we try to keep the victims informed of what's going to take place and if there is a trial and the perpetrator is found guilty, then we also accompany the victim back to court again when the sentencing process is handed down. And at that time, we allow victims, we can assist them in writing victim impact statements, which means the victim can either read what they've prepared for the court to hear, how the crime has impacted their family, or if they don't feel they can get through it, they can designate somebody else to read. Sometimes the district attorney's office will read it. But, you know, we provide every opportunity for that victim to make it known to the court how this has impacted their life before sentencing is handed down.
You're listening to Bedford County Speaks, and I want to remind you today that Bedford County Speaks is brought to you in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce. Proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And just want to put a little extra plug in here. Let me see, I think it's the 21st, it's a Friday. There's going to be a senatorial conference debate or something at the Elks at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to sponsor that. That is Bedford County Speaks is going to sponsor that event, so we're looking forward to doing that. Wayne Langerholtz and Ed Cernick are running against each other for the 35th District of the Senate, Pennsylvania Senate, and we're going to sponsor that event. We've had them both as guests on this program, so that's kind of the reason we want to kind of get in there with the sponsorship. And our guests today are Jeannie Mallow and Lynn Ash of the Your Safe Haven organization. And I was corrected earlier, it's Your Safe Haven, Inc. Let's make sure we get it right. And we are in their beautiful facility right here on West Penn Street in Bedford. Lynn, let me just ask you something. You look at this from on top, from the policy direction, the point of view. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to get public interest in this organization from a board point of view? I mean, you obviously want donations, you want participation. Tell me how that goes for you.
It's not difficult because this is exactly the sort of activity that the public can focus on. The public can touch their hearts. So no, it's not difficult to get public support. We need a lot because what we do costs a lot. So we're always looking for donations for things. We are one of the three beneficiaries of the Diamonds and Ice Gala. which will take place January 28th. Tickets are available.
Lynn wanted to know if she can say that. Lynn, this is a radio program on a commercial radio station. Of course you can say that. So say it again.
That if you'd like to support your safe haven, as well as the Humane Society and Bedford County Endowments, which supports all manner of activities, nonprofit activities in Bedford, including the arts, please call Kay Reynolds at Bedford County Endowments, 6230044. She'll be happy to sell you a ticket. And that is one of our sources of income, is the Diamonds and Ice Gala, as I mentioned. People have been generous. Hometown Bank, which is our landlord, has been very generous and very kind about helping us occupy this building, about mm-hmm. making this building as good as it could be for us. We love this place. It's a wonderful change for us and a great facility. As for our board, the people who serve on the board are all dedicated to the cause. This is a very important activity, a very important program, and everybody realizes that, and we work together very well. And as I said, we have an extraordinary staff. It's easy to support people who are as dedicated as our staff.
We're going to return with Jeannie and Lynn at Your Safe Haven when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Trooper Jeff Petucci of the Pennsylvania State Police, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to Your Safe Haven in downtown Bedford here. This is you just heard earlier, a magnificent facility. If it sounds a little big in here, I'm in there. Their conference room looks like dining hall facility. It's nice and big. It's got a big, beautiful ceiling, cathedral ceiling here, and it's a very, very pretty building. Jeannie, I'm particularly interested in some of the successes that you have here. Every organization has their ups and downs, but you wouldn't stay doing this if you didn't have a lot of wins. So
that's true.
How is it that that you can have really all this sorrow around you all the time? You must have to have some days when you jump up and say, we won that one.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, we usually when we encounter, have an encounter with our clients, we're probably seeing them at some of the worst times in their life. But yes, and I guess this is what so many people wonder, how we can stay motivated, because many of the times what they need is something temporary from us that'll take care of everything, whether it's a protection order, and then they go about their lives and we assume everything's okay. But we've had quite a few, most of them were domestic violence victims who came through our agency for protection orders and received the help and protection they needed through our court, and went on to get counseling and became thriving survivors of domestic violence. And the one lady actually was invited then to serve on our board of directors. And it's nice to have that victim's voice considering, you know, maybe new projects or how certain services have had a positive impact on our clients. We have a victim's voice at the board that can share that personally. And this individual also went and did some public speaking during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, is the month of October. So she has, that was, I think, just as fulfilling for her to give back. Yeah. Because she received something at a critical time in her life that was so important, and she felt so strongly about the help she received that she wanted to give it back to the agency in some way. So that's how she did it. And we were forever grateful and glad to see that she was able to be a thriving survivor.
It's a great story. And there's
many more like that.
The general perception, I think, of the public is we hear so much about the right of the perpetrator. And sometimes they think there's no right for the other guy or gal who obviously has been the victim of a crime. We hear about people getting in jail. We hear about how great it is to be in jail, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, sometimes these jails and prisons are a lot better than my house. So you have the other side of it. And you don't see them 24 hours a day. You only see them when you can or when they can see you.
Right.
So when some of these successes you have, do people ever come back after having been a client and become a volunteer?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, we don't see it as often as we like to, because once they do become a thriving survivor, sometimes it means they've relocated to another area that's not going to be a permanent reminder of what they've mm-hmm. endured. And that's fine. We can provide them with ongoing support as they do that. But it's nice to see that, you know, they want to come and volunteer and give back to others who may have been where they were when they first came here and can say, I do understand. And sometimes that's all another victim has to hear is, I've been there, I know. So hearing it come from somebody else who's done the walk and the talk and everything else, it's a little reassuring that, you know, it might be a painful process that you're going through now, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
And the term domestic violence means that it's often another family member.
Yes, yes, it
does. So that makes it even worse, because you've been attacked by some person and that person is part of your family or extended family.
Yeah,
So that makes your job bigger here, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does, because depending on how many family members are involved, I mean, usually when you hear domestic violence, you think of spousal abuse or girlfriend, boyfriends, mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, but it could be a grandmother filing against her granddaughter, mm-hmm. Or a daughter filing against her brother, or you just don't know how it's going to be, but it has to be either related through blood or marriage, or it has to be an intimate partner for it to be considered domestic violence to get a protection order.
So if I'm not a relative in some way, this service is not available to me?
Well, you can still get a service. We can, you know, provide you what your options are, but if you're looking for a protection order by somebody who's not related by blood or marriage or an intimate partner, there's no protection order.
I see. Lynn, in your obviously long time promoting this organization, have you ever had anyone approach you and say, I'm really glad you're doing this because this happened to me once and like you didn't know it? And have any of these kind of experiences where people kind of revealed things to you that you didn't know just because you promoted this thing?
Sure. Yeah. Certainly not as many experiences as Jeannie and her staff have had, but I can tell you this. I recently made a presentation about your safe haven to an organization, and when I was doing some background research, was able to look at a table that had four female employees, and say, statistically, one of you is abused. And I pointed to a table of 8 or 10 male employees and said, statistically, two of you are abusers. And my point is that in any group of, pick a number, 10 or 12 people, one or two of them are on one side or the other of abuse. Hmm. I can tell you a personal story. Some years ago, which I found a bit of a shock, there were three young people standing in front of one of the stores downtown in Bedford on Juliana Street. Two girls and young people, late teens, early 20s, two girls and a young man. As I passed, another young man came storming out of the store and stomped up the street, saying over his shoulder to one of the girls, I'm going to kick the S out of you. That was shocking enough, but her response really opened my eyes. She looked at me, smiled, and said, he'll do it too. Mm. I think too many people don't realize that how pervasive abuse can be, how so many people can accept it because that's what they're used to or that's what they think love is. And it's important that we educate people exactly what that means. It doesn't just mean somebody who comes home drunk and smacks you. You know, it could be that's how you're brought up. That's what you think love is.
Jeannie, you know, years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we heard about this, but everybody kind of snickered. It was almost like the right of a husband to bang his wife around. I'm old enough to remember some of those years. And things have changed. And we didn't have safe havens then.
No.
We didn't have anything.
We didn't have any of these services 40 years ago. And when I look back in my own lifetime, I'm thinking services only became available in my lifetime. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, I mean, what Lynn was saying about what people perceive as, this is the way I live because this is what I'm familiar with. That's what we try to educate people who have children in abusive homes. Children learn what they live. If a young girl in the home sees mom getting beat up and she sees this over and over again, she has a tendency of being attracted to someone that's going to treat her the same way because she doesn't know the difference. The same way with young boys. They grow up and see, this is what my dad did, so I guess I can do it to my girlfriend. And that's where we say we got to break that cycle to educate people. This is, domestic violence is a crime. You will be held accountable, and there will be consequences to pay if you do this crime. So it's really important to get that word out. You have a choice. You don't have to stay in an abusive relationship. There's options. Maybe it might not be the option for you right now, but I have found that, you know, we see women and men come in and do protection orders and drop them, and they come back to the office four or five times before they finally say enough's enough, and that's okay. We pick up right where we left off, you know, from the last time they were in to see us, and we take them before the judge and present their petition for protection. And if it takes that long, it takes that long because they've got a lot to think about. How financially they're going to be on their own, how are they going to take care of their kids, do they have enough money to pay rent if they're renting, and so forth. So we try to cover all these problems that can arise if they decide to leave their abusive partner, to give them some assistance to stay safe and to stay away longer.
You just made an interesting connection in my mind. I wanted to ask you, we just a few minutes left, and I'd like to ask you this before we leave. Young parents often have a conflict between discipline and fill in blank, especially with young children. I mean, where is the line drawn where it becomes an issue for you and this organization and the police and just simple discipline of an unruly child?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we have to ask ourselves continually because of the new child abuse laws that have went into effect recently. We are mandated reporters, so if anything is disclosed to us about what has transpired in the home, a child was hit, or if they received marks from somebody beating them with a belt or something, we're mandated reporters. You know, and we encourage the parent to report it to the proper authorities as well because we plan to do that. So we try to help, you know, give information on, you know, disciplining your children and, you know, methods that you can use to try to discipline, but violence never is the way to correct your children.
Well, I want to thank Jeannie Mallow and Lynn Ash. You've been terrific today. And Lynn, I'm going to give that plug one more time. Diamonds and Ice, if you'd like to learn more about it, it's 814-623-0044. I get that right?
Yes, please, okay. and thank you very much.
And
it's
Diamonds
a wonderful
and Ice,
event.
Of course, helps raise money for this outfit as well as other organizations in Bedford. Well, thank you both, Jeannie and Lynn. You've been terrific, and thank you very much for being so gracious. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right here on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.